Felicity smiles sweetly. "Oh, we are sorry, Bridget. We didn't know you'd fallen so behind." Under her breath, she adds, "You old battle axe." Bridget narrows her eyes at her, tittering.
"Here now, what are you on about? Making sport of your Bridget, are you?"
"Not at all."
"Oh, this is no good," Cecily sighs. "How can we possibly draw the east wing from so far a distance?"
She looks hopefully at Bridget.
"You'll sketch it from here and not an inch closer, miss. You've heard what Mrs. Nightwing has to say on the matter."
Bridget stares at the timber spine, the masons cutting stone. She shakes her head.
"It ain't right putting that cursed place back together. They should leave well enough alone."
"Oh, but it's thrilling," Elizabeth argues. "And think how lovely Spence will look once the East Wing has been restored," Martha echoes. "How could you say it's not right, Bridget?"
"Because I remember," Bridget says, tapping the side of her head. "There was something not right about that place, the turret in particular. Something you could feel. I could tell you stories."
"Yes, I'm sure you could, Bridget, and fine stories they'd be," Felicity says, as sweetly as a mother placating her irritable child. "But I do worry that the chill will put the ache in your back."
"Well," Bridget says, rubbing her sides, "'tis a bother. I mean, he's ain't getting no younger."
We nod in concerned agreement. "We'll only step a fraction closer," Felicity coos, "just enough for a proper sketch." We do our best to look as innocent as a choir of angels. Bridget gives us a quick nod.
"Off you go, then. Don't go getting too close, and don't think I won't be watching."
"Thank you, Bridget," we shout gleefully. We move quickly down the hill before she can change her mind.
"And be quick about it. Looks like rain."
A sudden gust of brisk late March wind blows across the brittle lawn. It rattles the weary tree limbs like bone necklaces and whips our skirts up till we have to push them down. The girls squeal in surprise and delight, for it has brought us the attention of every man's eyes for one unguarded, forbidden moment. The gust is the last charge of winter's army. Already the leaves are shaking off sleep and arming themselves. Soon they will mount their attack of green, forcing winter's retreat. I pull my shawl about my neck. Spring is coming, but I cannot yet shake the cold.
"Are they looking?"
Elizabeth asks excitedly, stealing glances at the men.
"Steady,"
Felicity says under her breath. Martha's curls hang limply at her neck. She gives them a hopeful push, but they will not spring back into shape.
"Tell me truthfully, has the damp made a ruin of my hair?"
"No," Elizabeth lies, at the precise moment I say, "Yes, it has." Martha purses her lips.
"I might have known you'd be unkind, Gemma Doyle."
The other girls give me frosty stares. It would appear that "tell me truthfully" is a carefully coded message, which means lie at all costs. I shall make a note of it. It often seems that there is a primer on all things polite and ladylike, and that I have not had the good guidance of its pages. Perhaps this is why Cecily, Martha, and Elizabeth loathe me so, and only tolerate my presence when Felicity is around. For my part, I find their minds to be as corseted as their waists, with conversations limited to parties, dresses, and the misfortunes or shortcomings of others. I should rather take my chances with the lions of Rome's ancient Colosseum than endure another tea-chat with the likes of them. At least the lions are honest about their desire to eat you and make no effort to hide it. Felicity glances at the men. "Here we go." We edge closer to the worksite.